Briefly, I just want to give thanks to the Match Project Collaborative, the individuals who worked so hard and so diligent to make this project a success. And thank you for also including the 1890s in your quest to do so. I feel, you know, not to be biased or at all, but I feel that you picked the right institution and the right organizations to help you meet the goals of your needs. The project back in West Virginia that I developed, it's called the InfoSeek Network for Emergency Preparedness. And what that is, my program, I applied for funding, which was level two. It's about $10,000. But we had, because the funding, we had such limited time in getting our projects developed and the funding spent, I did not want to take $20,000 worth of money for level four and just be sitting on money. I had to do what was doable, so to speak, back in my community with the resources that we had. And so what I did was, my project came in two phases. And the first phase was to basically design a one-stop shop for information, literature, things to really help go out and educate our communities on what it meant to be prepared, whether it be family preparedness, whether it be school preparedness, whether it be children being prepared, elderly, seniors, disabled individuals. And so basically, that's our common little disclaimer that we have to include. The goal of my project was to raise public awareness and the education levels throughout my local community about new and infectious diseases. We've had certain cases of West Nile and tuberculosis outbreaks, but none of them really right there in my centralized community. You'll find those occurrences in the outward of the 55 counties, maybe up in the common mountainous areas where you have a lot of streams, a lot of lakes, things like that, what we consider like not your common lakes. But one thing that kind of scared me, and this was actually after I developed the project, was we had an occurrence of MRSA on our campus. And that was something that we weren't really ready for, I don't think. You know, it's very typical to say, yeah, I feel we're prepared, but are we really prepared when it comes down to it? And so what I wanted to do was, again, create a centralized system of management and also to bring partners together. You know, because one thing, especially with extension, you will never get anything done alone. And as we all know, working in the public aspect, you have to bring people to the table to get those needs met. And within my unit, our partners actually serve to be some of our biggest resources, not just money, those partners, you know, because you never know where you'll get the next funding dollars from. But our partners are our main source of strength. So I knew that it was very pertinent to bring all of these people dealing with this initiative to the table to see what we could come up with. I want to provide a strong link for the citizens of Kanawha County, which is the county of our capital city, Charleston. And I wanted to really be able to go out and educate those communities on being prepared. Again, we wanted to localize the information, make it easy, accessible, and we wanted to go out and do trainings for the local community. And at this point, we have done some trainings. I actually did a presentation at Alabama A&M last week. Dr. Glover was there as well. She was the keynote, and we did some things at their family conference. And I did a session on developing kits for your home or kits for your children or kits for whoever the member of the family would be or in your localized community. And it really amazed me to see that a lot of people knew that they had to be prepared, but they haven't really taken steps to do so. So that right there was a key to me. I think we're going in the right direction. Again, some of the partners that we've collaborated with through the Match Project, but through my particular program, the project director, which was myself, I had to sit down and really design a model that I could get certain people involved and coming to the table. I needed the right people. You can bring a bunch of people to the table, but if they don't have the right tools that you need to get it done, you're still not going to accomplish anything. So what I looked towards was my local partners, being like my Office of Veterinary Medicine, to discuss those zoonotics. We brought together the HUD in my state because they do some things when it comes to emergency preparedness. My biggest thing was not only to get external partners, but internal partners at my university. I utilized the biology department, some of the staff there, some of those students, to make a real integrated process that we were going to come up with as far as our package. statewide and regional collaborations. We've done some multi-state discussions, and we want to move forward like with the sister state of Ohio. We've talked about some things with Ohio State University, and we want to futuristically move forward with doing some integrated programs with them, whether it be via newsletter, whether it be via webcast, something like that. But we want to have a true integrated process, you know, moving forward with our match program. Again, the faculty and staff, they were so pertinent in getting the information to us and to my students, who actually went out and did the brunt of the work. These individuals, and this is just some, but some of these individuals, what I asked for my advisory council, I developed the advisory council in like the first 2 months that we had the charge with the program. And I didn't ask because typically it was hard enough, you know, to get people to come to the table. But you don't want to ask people to have to give more than, you know, what they can give in a given day. So what I asked them to do was just serve as mentors for my students. And if they got any type of free resources or any type of literature that they could pass on to us to help strengthen our program, that's all I asked of them. You know, just serve as a resource for us to be able to come to. So it's been a wonderful experience. The Center for Advancement of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, that is actually located within the land grant system at my university. And what they've done at this particular point, when that funding cycle ended with Kellogg, I had to find a way to continue to get my students paid and to continue them going out into the community and getting this work done. And so because my students were considered to be minorities because there were women in scientific fields, they, through an EBSCOR grant, was able to pick up the funds for my students to carry on. So that's been a wonderful partnership from there. And then we have other things that we will work for in the future. this little concept I came up with one day, to me, it's called the Daisy Effect, and I'll show you right here in just a second. But all parts for our program needed to come together to make a holistic gain in our community. You know, we couldn't have anything working in a separate over here or over there. We wanted everything, our external collaborators, our internal collaborators, to come together in a whole and to make a greater benefit for our community. Hence, that is our clearinghouse. And that's kind of what the Daisy Effect looks like. the external collaborators would provide those components. The media exposure, community-based agencies would come together, trainings, faith-based organizations would be some of those individuals. And the internal collaborators, being those faculties and staff at my institution, would help develop literature, publication, educational DVDs, podcasting, or whatever it is that we want to move forward with. Hence, being my InfoSeek network for emergency preparedness and ultimately raising community awareness and allowing individuals to make more of a structured social selection when it came to being prepared in their homes or their community-based agency. We did an assessment. It was a pilot assessment, especially after the MRSA came about on our campus. I wanted to really see what our staff was ready, you know, what did they feel they were ready to do with the problem, the faculty on campus, like our physical facilities guys. Do you have the appropriate things that you need to deal with this, to clean it up so we can move forward? How are you dealing with the rest of the faculty? How is it that you're disseminating your information? So we did a pilot survey with them, and it was about 50 individuals that we talked to about that, and 85% of them that took the assessment, they agreed that they were aware of threats, they knew they had to be prepared, but they just didn't necessarily know how to do so. And then 70% of them were unsure of what agency to actually call. I mean, do you call Department of Public Health? Do you call Homeland Security? You know, who do you call, you know, in what situation when you have a need to be met? So there's a need for more contact information. We have those social service guides in my counties, and I'm quite sure you guys have them too back at home, but they give you a one-sheeter, and it has all these different agencies that would deal with a certain problem in the social service sector, and that is something that we're at home working on when it comes to emergency preparedness, really getting something really simplistic to hand out in communities, and not only to, you know, just average people, but to people in professions. You know, when it comes to emergency, we don't have time to run around and figure out who I have to call for this and we're in the middle of an emergency. We've got to be certain. We've got to be sure how to move forward as a community. Future direction, we're actually working on mass majority of this. We we have a partnership with the American Red Cross back in our state, and they provide these curricula called Masters of Disaster. And they're age-appropriate curriculum that you can take into school systems and really work with the children and getting prepared with their knowledge. It teaches them basically how to develop plans, teaches them who to contact in times of emergency. And my student actually right now is working with about two schools in our community who are considered disenfranchised schools. Most of their kids meet over the 90% of free and reduced lunch. And we really knew that bottom line, when something goes down, they're not going to the housing authority first. They're not going to disenfranchised communities. They're not going to communities that, you know, somehow experience poverty. Those are the last people. Who is really going to help them? And I think it'd be more fundamental for their children, if anybody, you know, to learn some lessons how to move forward and be leaders in their community, because they will be needed to assist in some type of way. We're steady building the clearinghouse. Wherever we can get the information, we've used FEMA, we've used CDC, we've used a vast majority of organizations who are already doing that, because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There is so much out there, but how do you bring it to your own community and give it a collective whole as to how people can help themselves? And that's just the bottom line. Right now, my communications department at my job, we're working on podcasts. We also have a magazine and a TV show called Extension Matters. And we're going to do TV tapings. We've done an article. Matter of fact, it was in the summer edition on being prepared. And so we actually have the gracious gift of having an EDEN, the Extension Disaster Education Network, statewide representative at our institution. And we're working together to develop some more things. And some of those will be available, you know, within the upcoming months on our website. Our podcasts are always out there. Our TV shows are always out there. And so you'll start seeing more things when it comes to MATCH as it relates to our program and some things that we're using for the community. We have an email that we first used. We developed some rat cards on each of the zoonotics or the infectious diseases that we experience as a community. And we have a website that we can answer questions about and get people information right now. It's actually just in the email form, but I would love to have an actual website that you could go from our homepage to link to go to maybe our MATCH homepage. So that's something that he's working diligently with me on. And an 800 number, if possible, that's actually been done to call in for community members to have further information as well. Information booths. We did an information booth over at our West Virginia State Fair, which had about 8,000 people there this year. And that's probably a minimum, because the State Fair, I mean, they come from everywhere, all over the eastern, you know, side of the United States to come to the State Fair. And what I did was, prior to that State Fair, is we developed a lot of MATCH novelties. And the novelties have the MATCH logo branded on them. And we also have information that we give out at the time we distribute them. But we did these novelties in the form of pill containers, first aid kits that were portable, soap leaves that you would wash your hands with, luggage identifiers, and also, what was the last one? Sunscreen. And those items, to me, we purchased about 5,000 of those items. And those items, to me, were very, very helpful when it came time for emergency. You know, we didn't want to put the brand on just anything. We wanted to put the brand on something that we knew that people could use if in case they needed for any situation. And so they've actually been hot topics at this particular point. I'm probably down to less than 1,500 of everything. I took some to Alabama, and they just ate them up. At the State Fair, I probably distributed over about 2,500 of them. I mean, they're really a hit, but the thing is, they're not a hit just because they're a freebie. They're a hit to me also because they are branding this name MATCH. They are allowing people to know that we can mobilize the threats in our community, and these are some user-friendly items that we can use. So when I pick up my pill container, I'm going to think, okay, West Virginia State, MATCH. Okay, whew. So anyways, some future directions. Again, we will be strengthening our clearinghouse. That's a daily job. When we find resources, I don't care what it is, we add it to the clearinghouse. So we can never have too much information as to what we can provide for our community. The public is interested in being more prepared. And, you know, it is our job to help them know what they need, what the right tools are, what the right contacts are in that situation. We want to make some more assessments. That's also going to be done through the F-Score funding. with the center, with the CASTEM division. They're going to develop some more assessments that we can really go out and take to whether it be public agencies, whether it be the students on our campus, whether it be kids in local schools, to really see what their needs are and what we need to continue doing for them. We do have a program right now with a faith-based organization, and there's a child care center in the faith-based organization. And right now we have training set up with the child care administration staff for them to, you know, develop their plans if they don't have one, strengthen the plans that they already have existing, and just better ways for educating the kids that they deal with on a daily basis as far as being leaders in their community. And we've also, my students have become a part of a group called Manners. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with that, but it's called Minorities in Agriculture and Natural Resources. And right now, our students are working with that group, and they're becoming more incorporated into student-based organizations. We set up tables with them and really, really try to educate the students on our campus and the faculty on our campus about what it means to be prepared. And really, the biggest thing that I need to do is just keep finding more funding to sustain our initiative. So, thank you. And that's my contact information, and we'll take any questions at the end.
Close, just close. Yeah. And then go to wrap it up.